Would you take God's word and turn this morning to Hebrews chapter 10? Hebrews chapter 10, and we are going to look at verse 24 and 25 for our main verses this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and verse 25. Today I begin a new series of messages with you for the month of May, and that is dealing with launching out through your church. I love the church, don't you? There's several reasons why I love church, but I have loved church ever since I was a boy. I just enjoy coming together and worshiping God together with the people of God, and what a joy that is. And so this morning we're going to be looking at a message entitled, The Church Connection. The Church Connection. Notice in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Is church still relevant for today? Does it hold a special place in your heart? I would say to you, based on the authority of the Word of God, that the church is still very relevant for today. And it is the hope of the world when it is working right. The church, as you know, used to be an important fabric of most communities. School functions never took place on Sundays or even Wednesdays. It wasn't that long ago, though 30 plus years ago, seems like a long time ago, but when I had pastored up north, I remember that the school districts in that area would never have functions on Wednesdays, and even if they had to do one on a Wednesday, what they did, they called the area pastors, it was regardless of denomination, and wanted to know, would this be okay for us to have a function on Wednesday night? Why? Because several churches in our area up there would have children's programs that reached out to children in our community on Wednesday nights. And they knew that, and they wanted to be conscious. What do you pastors think about this? It used to be that baccalaureate services used to be held at churches. It used to be that pastors were people, and I think on a large degree they still are, but were men who were highly respected. I can remember that people would be very, very careful to ever swear around a pastor. And if they did, they would be quick to apologize. But I have had several people, and I don't condemn them, I don't judge them, but now today those words will just slip out. They'll say whatever's in their mind, and with no shame, no embarrassment, that's just part of their vocabulary. It also used to be that churches were full on Sundays. But what about now? Hang on now. Think with me. What about now? I told you what it used to be, but what about now in America? Overall attendance, again, irregardless of denomination, overall church attendance is decreasing dramatically. Less than 20% of Americans attend church anywhere. There's 325 million Americans. So when you think about less than 20%, that means today that only about 65 million Americans are attending church anywhere. Then we wonder why, as our country and the trouble that she is in, when churches, another stat is this, that 1,000 churches a year are closing their doors due to lack of interest. People don't see it necessary. People don't want church. I remember a few years ago in about 2006, we went to every door in our community and we simply went there with this goal in mind to give them an invite from our church. No, it wasn't going to be high pressure, nothing of that nature. Just simply knock at the door, tell us tell them who we were, and give them an invite. And we had 150 people who told us, we don't go to church anywhere. Obviously, we gave them the church brochure, we gave them the invite. And then it took us a year and a half to do that. And when we got done with that, our next goal was to go back to those 150 people who said they had no church, claimed no church whatsoever. We went back to them, and some of them remembered who we were. And I said to them, we really want to give you an invite. You had expressed before that you did not attend the church. And here's what they said to me. Well, that is right. We still do not attend a church, and we really don't have interest of going to church at all. Yesterday, I had an opportunity to talk to a gentleman at his place of work. He was the owner, and I gave him one of our church brochures, and I asked him the question, if you died today, would you go to heaven or hell, or do you know? And he quickly said, oh, I would go to heaven. I said, why do you say that? He said, because I have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I mean, there was no hesitation. He just quickly gave me that answer. And then we got into a discussion, more so on his side than my side, because I really wasn't trying to push church other than to give him an invite. And he began to tell me, he says, well, I will tell you this, that if I ever come to your church, here's what I will be looking for. I've never had a guy give me a list. He said, you know, I think the message is important, he says, but I look for what goes on before the message starts. He says, I'm looking for the lively music and friendly people and this and that and so forth and so on. I don't know if he'll ever darken the door of the church, and I didn't get into what would you define as lively music, because that can be a discussion in of itself. But I thought about this. Less than 20% of America attends church today. Young people between the ages of 20 to 30 have left the church. Their reasons? They say it's not relevant. It's boring. It's legalistic. And now today, school functions are held even on Sundays. Have you noticed in America that Sunday is just about like any other day in America? It used not to be that way. Some of you remember, I don't remember this, but some of you can remember when you couldn't even go to a restaurant on Sundays because restaurants were closed. You could hardly even go to a grocery store because grocery stores were closed. It was a day to go and worship with your family, worship God together. But obviously, as times have changed, so has that mentality. In fact, today we are a generation of consumers, independent and critical. We attend church, but we don't want to settle down and truly invest ourselves into a church. We're not into commitment. We only want to date the church. But as we get near, listen to this carefully, and we'll build on this from the text. But as we get near the return of Jesus Christ, we, all of us, need the church more, not less. The Bible teaches that before the return of Jesus Christ, the world will become more and more unstable. Things will get worse. You say, well, that's what I really needed to hear, preacher. It's already going bad for me. Now you tell me it's going to get worse. But listen carefully. The Bible teaches us that before the return of Jesus Christ, the world would become more and more unstable, and the church is the one place of stability you need. The book of Hebrews, in which you have your Bible open to, was written to help Jewish Christians to keep growing in their faith and not go back under the ways of the law that they were brought up under, to keep right with God. To help them with this, they were taught the importance of staying connected to one another. And in our context, staying connected to the local church. So note with me, if you would, from the text this morning, in verse number 25, we see, first of all, the imperative or the command of staying connected. The imperative of connection. Notice now verse 25 again, where he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Some were forsaking the assembly. They were forsaking the gathering together of the people of God to worship together. He says here, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The writer of Hebrews makes obviously several points throughout his letter here about the Lord Jesus Christ and so forth. But in this context, he is writing and saying to them that you need to make church attendance not optional for believers. It's not open for debate. It's not open for, well, do I go or do I not? He says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Go with me to the book of Acts, would you? Keep your place here in Hebrews. In the book of Acts, what you will find that this was the formation of the early church. And my, how it grew. But notice in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 46. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. The temple was still effectual at that particular time. And breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. How often were they doing it? Continuing daily. Notice now chapter 5, verse 42. Chapter 5 and verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Again, underscore the word daily. And daily in the temple and in every house. So, if you would, they were connected in public meetings and they were connected in some more house kind of settings. They went from house to house. They also met in the temple. They worshiped the Lord together. Notice chapter 6. In chapter 6 and verse number 1, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So what was going on? In the context here, the church was growing so fast, and like I said, it got upwards to about 20,000 people, that there was a need that was taking place. And the widows in the church were being neglected. And so the apostles at that time says, well, we're going to give ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer, but here's what we want you to do. Pick you out 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, who can minister to this need. And so that's exactly what they did. Now notice in verse number 7, the result. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. In other words, growth was taking place. Do you want to see Calvary Baptist Church grow? That's kind of weak. Do you want to see Calvary Baptist Church grow? Amen. I do not know. Some have the mentality, I've heard it in each church I've pastored, well, I just like a small church where everybody can know everybody. And I get that, and I do love that about a smaller church. I have been one time a member of a church of 10,000 plus people, and believe me, I did not know everybody's name. I hardly knew the people that were around me. But anyway, there is some advantages of being a smaller church. And it's not, if you would, about numbers necessarily, but here's what I know. Outside the walls of this building are people who need the Lord. And we have a responsibility to gather together, be taught the Word of God, so that we can go out of here in a little while and make an impact in our communities where we live. And here we find in this context that they were, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, that they were not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, let me just say this at the outset of this message this morning. We ought not to ever look at church attendance as a matter of law. Well, I've got to be there because the pastor said so or someone else said so. I never want you to look at coming together with the people of God as a matter of law. I trust that you can come to the place where I am, where you say this, I love to come to be with the people of God. I love to gather with the people of God. I want to be there, and when I'm not, I miss being there. I want you to get to that place. Not looking at it as, well, I've got to do it. They're keeping records. May I say to you, the only place in this church where we, quote, keep records is in our adult class and in our children's classes. Other than that, we don't keep records. But there's a reason why we do that in that 9:30 hour. But that said, we're not checking a list and seeing, hey, okay, Jacob and Catherine, they weren't here last Sunday. I'm going to have to, you know, really get on them for not... No. But I will say this, as their pastor, I will take note when they're not here. Not because I want to chastise them, but because I care. When Howard's not here, I care. When Tracy Nyman is not here, I care. Not because it's a matter of law, but I want you to care as well. When you look around, you say, hey, someone's not here. And take it to another level. Hey, I'm going to contact them today and just make sure that they're all right. One of the ladies in our church, she's a widow lady. She's one of our senior saints. Almost every week, notice I said the word almost. Almost every week, I will call this widow lady and I will check in on her. She's a member of our church, but I check in on her and I ask her, how are you doing? It's not any other than that. And she hasn't been here in several weeks. And I know why. But I don't want her to feel like she's forgotten just because she's not here. A lot of it has to do with her health reasons. I understand that. And I get that. And she couldn't be here. But I do know this. If it wasn't her being unhealthy, she would be here. Because she loves to be with the people of God. One of the things I'll ask her, I say, now, do you need a gallon of milk? I say, why would you ask her that? That's an inside joke with her and I. But one time I asked her, is there anything you need? She says, yes, I need a gallon of milk. At that point, she was serious, so I went and got her a gallon of milk and brought it back to her. But now every time I call her, do you need a gallon of milk? You see, I don't want you to look this morning as I continue with this message, as we're going to get into it deeper. I don't want you to look at attending church as law. I want you to look at it with grace. With grace. Not as something that you get, but something that you can enter into with great joy. Now notice, if you would, the importance of connection. The importance of connection. Why do we connect? Why do we come together? Why do we worship? Notice verse 24. First of all, to promote love. To promote love. The Bible tells us in verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love. Now the word provoke is an interesting word. Here, hang on. Here is what it is. You're going to think, man, the Bible gives me license to do this. It has the idea of irritating. Don't be that the only thing that you take out of here and go home and irritate your wife or your husband or your brother or your sister. But it does have that connotation. To provoke unto love. The Bible tells us in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if ye have love one to another. The Bible says in Proverbs, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Why were they being encouraged to not forsake the assembly so that they could promote love to one another? You know, one of the things that the world expects, believe it or not, outside, I mean, these are people that aren't in the church. Some of them don't have no interest in church, but it's interesting. Sometimes the outside world knows better how the church ought to think than the church knows how to think and live. But one of the things that they're looking for is love. And what did Jesus teach us in John 13? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have a large church. Is that what he said? No. He says, if you have a love one to another. The early church practiced love. Were they perfect people? By no means. Are we perfect people? By no means. But we are people saved by the grace of God who, as we come together, we are to promote love one to another. Here's another thing, verse 24. Not only to provoke unto love, but also to good works. We're to provoke one another unto good works. Think about this with me. We know good works do not save, but they are indicative of true faith. Listen to the Bible. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, God saved us to good works. God did not save us to sit on the church chair. He saved us to serve. And one of the things that when the church family comes together is to provoke one another unto good works. Good works are powerful in evangelism efforts. Stay with me. Matthew 5:16, Jesus said this, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Some churches in the most recent years, and we have done this a little bit, I would like for us in time to do it more, but they have had what is called Love Works campaigns. And they go into a community and they find out, what does the community have need of? And then that church sets itself, organizes itself, and say, all right, we can paint the fire hydrants, we can clear out the park, we can rake the park and so forth. No strings attached, other than the fact that we want to be a church that isn't just coming together, worshiping on Sunday, and going home and doing it all over again. They're a church that goes out into the community doing good works, and when they see the good works, they'll be able to glorify your Father which is in heaven. Well, in the context, he says here, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. But there's a third thing that you see here, why it's so important for the church when you come together not to just attend, but also to engage in the matter of these matters. Notice what he says here, also to provide encouragement. Notice what he says here, exhorting one another. Brother Glenn taught in our Sunday school class here not too long ago on the matter of encouragement. That's the same kind of word here, where you are encouraging one another. The way to encourage others is to get our eyes off of ourselves and to get our eyes on others. Just think of this, church. What could happen if every person in our church would make it a point to encourage one other person every Sunday? That would be huge. That would be powerful. Where we're coming alongside someone else, even, hey, don't leave these teenagers out, coming alongside them and say, what can I pray with you about? And they may or may not give you a prayer request, but you can come alongside them and say, hey, I want to let you know, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you now that you have your license that God will give you safety. I mean, really, huh? Sure. I mean, Tracy and Debbie Nyman were really nervous when Sammy got her license. I was nervous when my girls got their license. I wanted to say, world, move over. New driver on the road. You know what I'm talking about. Point is that these young people right here in front of us, need encouragement. They need exhortation. They need prayer. You need it. Some of you today, I do not know necessarily what you walked into these doors with, the burdens and the cares of your life, but here's what I do know. Sometimes when you come to church and someone else speaks to you, that speaks volumes. I remember years ago, we had a lady that we met just going out. The way she got connected through our church was we did a mailing. We just took, at that time we had a Gaines phone book, and so we went through the phone book, and we just mailed out a general letter. Hey, we want you to know that we're thinking of you, we're praying for you, because we had people praying for people in the phone book. We didn't know their names. But as a result of that effort, one woman came into the church, a widow lady. Her husband had died a few years ago, and she came in, and I got connected to her real quick-like. And she said to me this. She says, I like your church, and I've never really had someone request this, but it pointed out something to me. She said, I like your church, your people are friendly, but I don't want to come into church and sit alone. Could you find some lady that could sit with me? And I got a lady to sit with that lady, and those two became great friends. Now, like I say, that's not a typical request that I get, but it pointed out something to me, that when we have people come to our church, that we ought to consider one another. Something simple as just sitting with them. Something simple as just walking up to them and just let them know that you're praying for them and caring for them. Because you see here in the context, it says, exhorting one another. I used to put the word in there daily, but the word daily is not there. It just says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. But we ought to be connected, and the reason why is that we can encourage one another. I could, in about 5 minutes' time, really discourage you. You know how? I could begin to talk to you about the news and politics. And most of it would, seriously, it would depress you. But the truth is this, hold on. That is the real world we live in. You turn on the evening news, or whenever you turn on the news, if you watch the news at all, you know of terrible things are happening in our society. Things we wouldn't think even possible. But when you come in on Sunday and you worship the Lord, this ought to be a place that when you leave, you can be uplifted. Through song, through the ministry of the Word, you're being here to hear the Word of God. Exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we've looked at the importance of connection. Now notice thirdly this morning, the incentive. What keeps us motivated? Notice the verse. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Stay with me. Try to stay awake. I'm not trying to put you to sleep, all right? Stay with me now. Why be faithful to church? The answer was just given. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Jesus is coming. Do you believe that? Say amen. He's coming. He may come before this service is over. He's coming. This is our blessed hope. The Bible says this, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if I go, and he did, I will come again. I can't think of a better place to be, if at all possible, when Jesus comes. If it's on a Sunday or whatever other day, which for us is Wednesday, that we choose to worship together, I can't think of a better place to be when Jesus were to come, I'd be raptured right out of the church building. How neat would that be? The only place I thought would be kind of neat to be when the rapture takes place, I know this sounds a little morbid, but by a graveside. Dead in Christ rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. I've often wondered, how is that going to work? The dead in Christ, I mean, I just buried so-and-so. There they are. They were a believer. They loved the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. But one day, when Jesus comes, the dead in Christ rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Here is why we ought to be faithful to the services of the church. He says, and so much the more. In other words, don't look for doing it less. Well, preacher, come on. We're busy people. Don't look to do it less. Do it more. That's what the Bible says. And so much the more. So much the more. So much the more. Why? Because Jesus is returning and he wants to find us faithful to that which he died for, and that's his church. And so much the more. And so today, let me wrap this up with you and give you 3 points of application. First of all, some of you need to decide that you are going to get more connected through your church by attending more of its services. For some of you, that could look something like this, being here at the 9:30 hour. Today, I just began a new series of studies from 1 Peter, dealing with the subject matter of hope. Boy, we need hope today. We need hope. So come and learn about how we can have hope in a world that is seemingly hopeless. Tonight I'll be speaking on the subject matter of revival as we prepare for revival here in a few weeks in our church. And on this upcoming Wednesday, I'm excited about this, I'm going to begin a new series of studies on living confidently in a world gone mad. How can we do that? The Bible gives us answers. But we can live confidently in this day and age. So consider today, I want to obey the Lord in this area. I want to become more connected just at that base level. I don't want to just come for 1 hour. I need more. I want to do what the Bible says, and so much the more. Now, if you got to work, I understand that. If you can't be here for health reasons, I understand that. But if it's to say, you know what, man, I'm going to the lake. It's a sunny day. I'm going to go golfing. It's a sunny day. After all, preacher, I can worship God there just as well as I can worship God here. Boy, think about that. What would that look like if I brought the lake here and we tried to worship the Lord here? That wouldn't work. Think about if I tried to bring the golf course here and we try to worship God here. That really wouldn't work. God has a design plan for God's people to come together and do it so much the more, so much the more, so much the more Jesus is coming. Some of you need to decide that today. Some of you need to decide that I'm going to get more connected to my church family and do what it says here in verse 24, provoke unto love, to provoke unto good works, to provoke encouragement. I want to not just attend the church, I want to find a place where I can serve. Pastor Chris presented to you this morning the kids' ministry. You say, well, I don't have the energy and strength I used to have. I understand that. But I will tell you this. We have a great opportunity to just engage and make an impact in the lives of these children, from nursery level to Sunday school teachers to being a greeter and a monitor, to being a Sunday school helper, being a junior church helper, just coming alongside these kids and loving on them. I'm looking forward to seeing our children's ministry just growing and reaching more children for the Lord Jesus Christ. Decide today, you know what? I'm not going to just attend this church. I'm going to get engaged. Here's what I know. Here's what I know. Blessings come by getting engaged. Blessings come by serving. Not just being a sponge and taking it in, but giving it out. Won't you today say, Lord, I love my church. I love your church. But Lord, today, I want to connect in a deeper way. And then thirdly, some today need to decide that with God strengthening me, I'm going to increase my level of connectivity in my church because Jesus is coming. And when he comes, I want to be found faithful to that which he gave his life for. He gave himself for the church. Family is important. God instituted that. Government is important. God instituted that. Church is important. God instituted that. Let us therefore say, I'm not going to forsake the assembly. I'm going to be engaged. I'm going to be connected. What a privilege. Now, I want you to think about this as I wrap this up. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. If you were to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you would find in there that he says the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain, Christians, shall be caught up together. Hey, that's what the church has to look forward to. We are going to be caught up together. But until we are caught up together, let us be together, reaching out into our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ, loving on one another, provoking each other unto love and to good works, and exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Will you be connected deeper, on a deeper level, with your church? Let's pray. Father, I thank you how that Jesus loves us so much that he gave himself for the church. Thank you for this building that you have provided for us so that we can worship you in. But we realize that we, the people, are the church. And Father, how I just ask this morning that you would help and strengthen each and every one of us. I know full well you know about our physical limitations. But for most of us, that's not a problem. So help us, Father, to really put ourselves more and more into that which Jesus gave himself for. If he died for us, then help us to live for him. And help us to do it so much the more as we see the day approaching.